Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, if you just skim through my next guest's social media post, you would think that he's losing a battle against his addiction to Maltesers and Baywatch. But Dr. Brian Tobin, a law lecturer at NUI Galway, is a fighter and has been through a lot more than that. And he joins me on the line. Dr. Brian Tobin, good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
It's great to have you on the show. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. When you are not watching Baywatch, what is your day job like these days? Tell us.
Sure. So I'm a lecturer at NUI Galway and I teach family law and the law of trusts to students. And when I'm not lecturing students, I'm writing. I actually recently signed a contract to publish my first book. So wow. Very busy with that at the moment.
You're very busy. How long did you study the law to get where you are today?
I've been studying law for, it was a decade to do the 3 degrees in total. So bachelor's, master's, PhD.
My days. You did all of that despite having, how do I pronounce your health condition? Is it what is it?
It's Leframini syndrome.
Leframini.
Essentially,
what is that?
We all have a gene called TP53, which is our tumor suppressor gene. And that prevents our cells from dividing and, you know, prevents us from getting cancer, because once cells divide, they can develop into tumors. So essentially, my TP53 gene doesn't work and I can develop cancers and very rare cancers at any time. Because it's a very rare condition. It's so rare, in fact, I can't even give you an estimate as to how many people in Ireland might even have it.
Brian, what has that meant for you personally?
I actually was only diagnosed with the Leframini last year. So it was a relief for me in the end, because I'd had 3 cancers at that point. So to get an answer other than what I was hearing for, you know, about 18 years, oh, bad luck, bad luck, bad luck. It was something of a relief for me. But now going forward, it's something I have to come to terms with as well, and to be very aware of any lumps and bumps or symptoms.
You beat cancer once, only for it to return 15 years later. What did that do to you mentally before you even started the treatment? Was that a hard thing to deal with?
It wasn't the second time around. The first one was devastating because I was only a teenager. I was like a second year law student at the time, very, very young. It involved having half of my pelvis removed and replaced by a massive metal implant, which was wonderful because the option at the time in Ireland was amputation. So I went to London for limb salvage surgery, and it's led to me having a far better quality of life than I would have had I gone down the other route. When it returned 15 years later, it was a melanoma on my ankle. So just an out of control mole, and it was able to be excised. So I didn't actually have any treatment like chemotherapy or radiotherapy, the surgery that time. So that wasn't too bad. The third time in 2018 was quite difficult. It was a soft tissue tumor on my arm, and I discovered it a few weeks into a year-long research sabbatical. So really looking forward to the sabbatical, and oh, what's this? And that's when the doctors in London decided to send me for some genetic testing. But I should point out, Jen, that Leframini, it's usually a hereditary condition, and in my case it wasn't. So I seem to be the first in my family to have this Leframini syndrome, which in itself is unusual and even more rare. There are usually what we call Leframini families that, you know, parents, grandparents, and then the children would have these very rare cancers, and that's not the case in my family. So that's a little bit of a difficult pill to swallow.
Your optimism and your positivity floors me, because you're a young man trying to get on with your life, writing a book and studying law, and you just keep getting hit with this. I mean, no wonder the doctors wanted to do some tests on the third time it came around and realised, look, this is, something's going on here. How are you now?
I'm great. Yeah, I'm really good. You might say I'm only as good as my next scan, but the good thing is that at St. James's, they actually scan persons with leiomyomania on an annual basis. So I just had last month my first head-to-toe MRI scan. So that checked me out and I'm all good at present. But, you know, I'm not waiting for the next scan. If something happens, it happens. I could be run over by a bus in the morning. You know, many things can happen. I'm just remaining positive and just trying to, I really enjoy my work. Like, I love what I do. I love working with young people at the university. I've got some great colleagues there and just, yeah, happy out.
Brian, you have to tell me the secrets to staying positive.
Well, support is key. And I think, you know, that's a huge thing. One thing I should say, Jen, is I was very lucky in that I had correct and timely diagnoses each of the three times. So we know that that is a big part in enabling one to fight against cancer, because, you know, if the diagnosis comes too late, well, then it's more difficult to put up the fight. So that's a big thing.
Yeah.
My parents, my brothers, I have great family, friends, loads of cousins. I've even got two godchildren these days. And I've had great medical care as well.
So just to say to people out there, if they're worried about any lumps or bumps or feel it, just go get it checked out. Early diagnosis is key, would you say?
It is. What I would say in particular to young people, Jennifer, because I would have liked to have had the leiomyomania diagnosis when I was much younger. If you're a young person and you develop a rare cancer in your teens or early 20s, I would say to you, you should really ask your doctor or consultant to refer you for genetic testing, because even though it's very rare, but if you do have leiomyomania, at least then you can enter into a screening program like I'm in now, where annually you'll get a head-to-toe MRI to check you out, you know, the MOT.
So apart from all that going on in your life, have you put pen to paper yet? Have you started the book? What's happening there?
Yeah, I have a number of chapters written. It's actually an academic book, although people say I should write a book about all of this.
Yeah.
It's an academic book of general interest. It's looking at emerging families in Ireland and beyond. So it's going to look at same-sex families and atypical parenting.
Well, when it's written, will you come back and chat to us about it? I'd love to hear all about it when it's done.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely delighted.
Well, listen, I'm delighted to have you on the show. I wish you the very best of luck and thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'll chat to you very soon when you get that book done. Now back to work.
Thanks a million. Thanks so much for having me. Take
Anytime.
Care.
That is Dr. Brian Tobin, NUIG Law Lecturer. Just want to thank him again for joining me on the show today. Just been amazing to talk to someone just faced with all that and still so positive and getting the job done. We'll be right back after these.